Good morning. So glad you're here. Hope you come with expectancy, hoping to meet with God and be with God's people. You should have been blessed already. Just seeing little Johnny up there. Johnny, where are you? You know, giving the thumbs up. Yeah, raising the roof. We got you, buddy. But that's exciting to see our young people, especially loving the Lord and to praise Him that way. That's just an exciting situation. We're glad you're with us. If you're our guest today, we say it every week and we pretty much mean it every week. You're not here by mistake, you're here by design. God has you here for a purpose. That's why you're here. I don't know what it may be. It may be the word that's spoken. It may be from the music that is. It may be from the hug that you get. It may just be from the Spirit of God placed within you that He wants to meet your need today. We've been looking at What's the Recipe. Next week's our last week in this series of What's the Recipe. Some of you I fooled because last week we looked at dessert, and some of you thought, well, that must have been the end of the meal. But I asked you last week, why is it that we put dessert at the end? Remember? I set you up. Why is it that, who started that dessert goes at the end of the meal? I don't know where that came from. I like it at the beginning if I'm going to have it. My grandkids know if they're going to be with me, we're going to have dessert first. That's the way it works. Parents don't like it so much, but that's the way it works. But when you look at that, I mean, some of you tonight, watch what happens. Now, you're going to know, but, you know, some of you will, there will be some brave folks here, souls here, who tonight when we go to the family gathering, we start eating, you're going to go right to the dessert table. You're just going to go right there and say, let's, you know, who said, you can say, Pastor Bill said, who put dessert at the end? Why do we do that, okay? So go ahead and just eat big and live hearty like that. We've been looking at a lot of different recipes for life, recipes for just the things in life and what brings fulfillment. I can't recap all of those. We don't have the time. But I thought of all the ones that as we come down to the end here, what's the recipe for slow cooking? What is the recipe for slow cooking? Now, there's a couple different ways of slow cooking. I like to barbecue. I'm a barbecuer, and the rule there, man, I like to slow cook. But there's also this crock pot business, okay? How many of you have crock pots? You got, you know, some, you know, yeah. They're called different things. Before they had a crock pot, they had stove top, the same thing, and my mama never saw a crock pot. But she'd cook low and slow, and they had a pan that they would use just for that purpose. This low and slow, man, it was just low and slow cooking. Now, the different crock pots, it's interesting to me because when we got married, we got a crock pot for a gift. It was great. It was one of those. It was about this tall, but it was a round one. It wasn't like these. Now they're lowered out and they have, you know, lower and all this in the lid. It was just a round one. It looked like a coffee can. And in fact, it was just the size, a little bit bigger of a coffee can, because we could take a coffee can back when they were metal. Remember 10 metal coffee cans? Not the plastic ones we have now. It wouldn't work. But we would take a coffee can, and I'd cut off both ends, one end of it, and I would set it inside that. It was just right. And then I would put a bread inside there. There's a dough I would put inside there, and I'd seal it and just let it cook all day. And brand the bread was the best thing ever you saw. It just came out of the crock pot. Crock pots were used for a lot of things, man. It could take tough areas, tough pieces of meat, you could cook it, you still do. There's all time. Now, that one broke. I broke the lid, dropped it, putting it up on the shelf. The lid broke, couldn't find another one, threw away the crock pot. That was the dumbest thing I ever did in my life right there. Well, not that some of you will know there's dumber things, but that was one of the dumbest things I did, is throw that crock pot away because I couldn't find the lid. So then I said, well, they have new crock pots. New crock pots aren't the same as the old crock pots. They're just not that. They're not the same. And I thought, even in crock pot cooking, my new crock pot, the crock pot that I have that I'm now sitting on the shelf and don't use so much because I went to a garage sale and found a little older one, not much, but a little bit. Because the crock pot I got now, I said, okay, put it on warm, you know, you warm it, then you put it on low or high or whatever. Well, low on this crock pot will just, it'll cook the bejesus out of things. It's just, you know, it's not slow about it. And I thought, in some sense, our crock pots even look at what we're talking about today, but the issues of crock pot we put, because different crock pots, it's all about time, it's all about the issue of time and temperature. Time and temperature. Slow cooking, man, it's got to be, I was reading as I studied this, that really, because I was frustrated with our crock pots, you could take two light bulbs, put them in a metal pan of some sort, even aluminum, cover it, and then put something on top of it that would seal, and you could use it. That's all the heat you need. If you're going to do low and slow, you could cook with a couple light bulbs. Low and slow. I may try that just to prove it, see if it works. But I'm thinking low and slow. I know when I do certain things, man, I'm trying to control the heat. My crock pot, that old one I had, I could turn it on low, and it would just be low heat. I got an old one from a garage sale. We've been using it. It's a little better. I can put on low, and when it says it'll cook for 8 hours, it's really low enough to cook for 8 hours. Some of these newer ones you put for 8 hours on, you come back and you got jerky sitting in the pan. I mean, that's what's in there, you know, have a nice little bite. Low and slow cooking. It's good for cooking. I love to come home and smell the crock pot that's been going. It's great for if you put it in the morning, you plug it in, you let it go slow, you come home, and it's all done. And just like it's good for cooking, I think it's good for us. Because it seems like we cram more and more into less time. And just like low and slow ought to go for cooking, and it has qualities within cooking, I think it also has qualities that we need to see within us. And as I thought of this, as I thought of that slow cooking, the Bible talks about that really when it comes to the issue of patience. Patience. It is interesting to me that the weeks that I'm talking on certain things, I mean, I just seem to be inundated with the illustrations personally of that topic. And this week, of course, knowing that I was studying for patience, I never prayed the prayer, "Lord, give me patience." I didn't do that. I didn't need to. I mean, it was just like everything, it just like, here comes the world right here. And as I was talking and thinking about through patience, I thought, what is patience? What really is that? And one author wrote, patience is the ability to put up with people you'd rather put down. And that's supposed to be a joke because we wouldn't do that. But sometimes you look at people and you say, you're getting on my nerves. You're stressing me out. And then I thought about, you know, patience in every one of us here today, it needs no definition. Not one of you, maybe Frank, he's perfect. But yeah, sorry. But you know, all of us have our own system of patience, don't we? We know what frustrates us. We know how much patience we have. We can see when we're short of patience and when, okay, things don't bother us. And certain things can roll right off our back, and yet the next minute something happens that twists us and we're impatient. And that slow cooker really comes to the issue of patience. I want to talk just briefly about the issue of patience. Out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Bearing with. And the Greeks have a great way that we don't. In certain words, they expand the meanings of those words. So, like for love, we know that there's four or five different meanings of love. When we say, in the Bible it says love, 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 there's different versions of that. There's different meanings of that. Eros, phileo, storge, agape, the different meanings of love. Well, the same is true with patience. And in the first use of here, in as we find in Ephesians, it's talking about bearing with someone. Bearing with someone or something. It deals really with people as we talk about that. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another. We all would get that, don't we? Do you find that at times you're the most impatient with the ones who are closest to you? Do you have a lower threshold of putting up with stuff for those who are closer to you? Or do you find that you have patience there, but maybe it's patience at work? What he's talking about here is there's patience that we bear with someone. And this is where at times, man, you just realize all of us have bad days. Understand that. And there's all the times, you know, we're cranky or whatever, and we might not have much patience. But do people see us as a patient person? When somebody makes a mistake, do we see each other and do we treat them with patience? Now, I'm all for the issue of we have to do our job, we have responsibilities, I understand that. And I understand within that process that we all have times and there has to be a line drawn. But I'm not talking about professional or vocational patience. This is talking about with people. Are you patient with people? Even the people, you know, I found myself yesterday, I was going into the Bay Area and I had to go across a bridge. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at the lanes as I come up that bridge, pay that toll. We were over the Carquinez Bridge, actually. I think, okay, there's five lanes, which is going to be fastest, you know, da, da, da. Just thinking through my head, that lane over there has got a big rig, but that actually is like four cars. So once that big rig goes through, that's like four cars. I mean, I'm just really thinking, that one over there said, you know, okay, that's a fast track. I go over there, I'm going to get another ticket like I did once before. I ain't going to pay that one again. So I thought, anyway, what I thought, I went right through it is what I thought. But so I'm standing, and wouldn't you know, I picked this line. I think, this is it. This is it, because I don't know what they were doing up there.
They must have been sharing lunch together or something. You know, I thought, okay, it won't take that long. He must have given him a card. Maybe that was it. Maybe he has a debit card. All these people using debit cards and credit card or something. I'm waiting, looking around. Okay, can I switch lanes now? Well, what if I just turn over, you know, bam, dodge over here, dart over there, and I found myself getting what? Impatient. I thought, okay, God. You know, here, right here in this lane, my blood pressure is getting up because it's going to cost me 2 more minutes or 3 more minutes sitting in this lane than that lane. God, why don't you just let me go to that lane instead of this lane? So many things that we find from the minute little deals, waiting for a package, waiting for a delivery, our time becomes so important to us. And that people, we come. And I thought as I drove through up to this gate, the toll, I thought, now God, thank you, because I need to have patience here. And I need to have to make that guy have a good day. Because I don't know, maybe that guy's chewing him out about something. I don't know. And so I thought, you know, the people behind me can just wait. And I pulled up to the gate. And I gave him the money and said, hey, man, how's your day today? He goes, what? I said, well, I know how your day is today. I was talking to him thinking the guy probably 5 cars back is saying, why did I choose this lane? What's that guy up there doing? He's probably giving him a credit card or something. No, I gave him exact case. I was just talking to him. Do we bear with people who seemingly don't meet our expectations? Do we bear with people just on a regular basis? Do we bear with a clerk who may have made a mistake? Do we bear with somebody? Do we bear with our spouse? Do we encourage? Do we have that patience to say, okay, I don't need to snap off a smart remark. I don't need to be cynical. I just am going to be patient. I see that in so many different ways for me as well as for others, to bear with someone, to bear with your kids. I know it's difficult because you may tell them time and time again, but do we teach our kids patient by being patient? Or are we teaching them to fall just like we do and everything has to be done so quickly and they get frustrated when something doesn't happen immediately? And I wonder sometimes if they're frustrated because it doesn't happen immediately, because we get frustrated when something doesn't happen immediately. There's another use. That use is out of the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that ye may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. This isn't bearing with, this is bearing up. Bearing up under suffering, bearing up under circumstances that are less than ideal. It speaks of the word endurance, to persevere. Bill Gothard used to have he still does have a definition of accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. And sometimes we're in a difficult situation, but we want to remove now. And part of what we need to understand is that bearing up under some of these situations, it creates that endurance, it builds strength within us. That we look to the situation that we have and we give it to God. We say, God, this is, you know, man, build within me. There are things that are built under suffering and pressure that nothing else will build us in. This last few weeks, many of you know that I make myself available, not 100%, because I could do them every day, which I don't. But in the situation we find ourselves in this area, if you're not involved in a church and you lose someone that you love, good luck finding a pastor who will even touch you. We don't have time. And yet I feel like that's perhaps where God wants me to be, and what God's called me to do is to be ministering to them at that time. This last few weeks, I've had the opportunity and the tragedy as well, on a human perspective, of dealing with 3 families who lost children. Bearing up under suffering, enduring, without God, that's impossible. That's impossible. You're crushed with your spirit, and we're to bear up under that. But the patience that we're talking about today, really, is out of Galatians chapter 5. You know Galatians well. You know this passage well. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And what he's talking about here is slow cooking. Slow to boil,
That's what it means. The fruit of the Spirit is that we have patience, that we're long-suffering, that we are slow to boil. That slow cooker that will never boil. A long fuse, not getting frustrated so easily, not getting tense so easily, not flying off the handle, not responding too quickly, perhaps using the filter that though you may think it, you use the filter not to say it. Slow to boil. To give grace. I read this story of an illustration. It was a man who noticed a lady in a grocery store. She was shopping with her young son, her young daughter in her cart. And she would say, "Now, Missy, we're halfway done. We're almost there." The child asked for cookies. And she said, "Missy, we're almost done." And the little girl would just start throwing a fit. "Only one more aisle. We're almost done." We go to the next aisle. There she sees the candy as they have it displayed. Missy, we're just around the corner. We're almost done. Almost done. Starts wailing, "Missy, we're almost done. We're going to make it." Goes into the register where they have all those things that kids just love at their level. Reach out, grab, you know, put it back, "Missy, put it back. Missy, we're almost done. We're going to get there. We're almost done. Be patient. We're going to get there. And the man just watched this take place. After they paid, they walked out. They were walking to the car. He followed them out to the parking lot. And he complimented the woman. He said, "I couldn't help notice how patient you were with little Missy." The mother, she replied to him, "Thank you, but my little girl's name is Francine. I'm Missy." And sometimes we're like that. We need to be slow to boil. I know how easy it is at times just to get tense. Harsh, and the words that follow. It says the fruit of the Spirit he talks about there. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And that's where patience is. It comes from. That's the power. It comes from the fruit of the Spirit of God in our life. On a human level, it's tough to be patient, isn't it? On a human level. But the fruit of the Spirit, part of him working in our life, part of that time that grows through time and temperature, even on a slow cooker, through the time we come to know Christ, through time we grow, we mature, part of that is being patient. Learning patience. I mean, we ought to be able to sit back and say, okay, part of the fruit of the Spirit in my life is I don't want to be that way. I want to be patient. I need to know when we deal with things, but I want to respond with patience on a normal daily basis and not fight that battle. And the practical patience that comes with it, we need to realize some things. Practical patience is realizing this. God is patient with us. Is he not? He is patient with us. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. His patience, he's long-suffering, he's forbearing, he's forgiving. God is patient with us. But lastly, just I think at times we need to be as patient with others as you want others to be with you. If for no other reason, say, okay, I'm going to be patient with it. I want to say, man, I want them to be patient with me, so I'm going to treat them with patience. I realize this is not some deep theological truth, but I do believe that patience is something that most of us deal with, the lack thereof, of being patient. I think one of the ways that we can show people that we love them, that we value them as God does, is to show patience with people. To show patience with people. There are people in my life that, oh, at times they make me angry, even when we're angry. Or they may say, wow, but am I to be patient with them? And realize that God may do it. God doesn't work at the speed that I work. You realize that? I mean, sometimes I want God to do things. I want it to be done now. I want this circumstance to be done now. I want this problem to be done with now. And God may say, wait a minute, there's a process that's going through. You're going to learn patience and endurance and perseverance through this. So bear with them, bear up under that, and practice patience. Don't become so fast to think it's all about you and to go right to boil. Just slow down. God may be working in their life. You don't know what book, the chapter of the book of their life has been. You don't know what has been written. Be patient. Learn their story. See through their eyes. And that the Spirit of God direct in our hearts what needs to be done. Very practical today. Go home, find your crock pot, put it in, and just see how fast it cooks something. It's slow, usually. We need to be the same way, slow to boil. Very patient. Understanding that God is patient with us. Let's pray. Father, the recipe for patience is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that we live in that Spirit. I pray that today, in just a very practical way, we would be patient people. That we would give ground to the fruit of the Spirit in our life, that we would want patience to grow. That we realize and we're grateful for how patient you are with us. And that we would give the patience to others that we would want them to give to us. May they see the love of Jesus through us in our patience. May we not respond as the world does. We watch our words. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Paul.